She drew in her shaky breath, realized she was close to losing it, and forced her hands into fists. "Think of a happy place," she told herself a little wildly, then thought, "Fuck it," and headed for the door. Her father was already waiting for her. She came up the steps and he opened the wooden door, leaving her to manage just the screen while he stood patiently to the side. Inside, he took her coat and, as was his custom, said,
"How was the drive?"
"Fine."
"Traffic?"
"Not bad," he grunted.
"Heading in, though. Getting back to the city on a Saturday night."
"I'll manage." He grumbled again about traffic. He didn't like where she lived any more than she liked where he lived, then gestured weakly to the small living room. Carpet was still gold shag, the sofa a brown floral print. Catherine had offered to replace the furniture for him once. He'd shaken his head. The sofa was comfortable, the carpet durable. He didn't require anything fancy. Catherine moved to the edge of the tiny love seat and sat perched with her hands upon her knees. Entering this room always felt like entering a time warp. She never knew where to look or how to feel. Today she chose a spot on the carpet and fixed her gaze there.
"I need to talk to you about something," she said quietly.
"Are you thirsty? Want something to drink?"
"No."
"I have some soda. Root beer, right? That's what you like."
"I'm not thirsty, Dad."
"What about water? Long drive like that, you must be parched. Let me get you some water."
She gave up arguing. He shambled into the kitchen, then returned with two glasses of water in daisy-printed plastic cups. He took the brown lazy boy. She remained on the love seat. She drank some of the water after all.
"You know what happened," she said at last.
Her father couldn't seem to look at her. His gaze was ping-ponging around the room. He finally found the portrait of her mother hanging over the mantel, and she thought his face looked old and sad.
"Yeah,"
he said at last.
"I'm sorry it ended like this. I'm sorry Jimmy's dead."
"He hit you,"
her father said, the first time she'd ever heard him acknowledge it.
"Sometimes."
"He wasn't a good man."
"No."
"You liked his money that much?"
her father asked, and she was shocked by the sudden anger in his voice. She faltered, her hands shaking harder. She tried another sip of water, but the cup trembled in her grasp. She wished she could just bolt from the room.
"He was good to Nathan."
"He never cared a rat's ass for either of you."
"Dad."
"You should have left him."
"It's more complicated."
"He beat you. You should have left him. You should have come here."
Catherine opened her mouth. She didn't know what to say. Her father had never made that offer. He'd never even commented on her marriage. He'd attended her wedding, where he'd shaken Jimmy's hand and told her new husband good luck. After that, he'd been busy with his card games and veterans groups and routines. He'd appear every Thanksgiving and Christmas at her in-laws, eat some turkey, hand Nathan a present, give her a kiss on the cheek, and that was it. He was gone again, back to the neighborhood that he loved and she abhorred. Sometimes she wondered if things might have been different if her mother had lived. They would never know.